Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 6th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 14, the sixth paragraph that begins with "My friend had." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Liz T., who will be reading the 12 steps, Dana P., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Roz G., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, November 5th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,720. That's 15720. This morning's Friday, November 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 15,726. That's 15726. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for having me do service.
Thank you, Liz T. And I'll now ask Dana P. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, Dana P. here in California. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and my fellows on the line. The 12 traditions. Oh, I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thank you. It's an honor to do service, Pat.
Thank you, Dana P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 14, the sixth paragraph that begins with "my friend had." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Kara L., if you could get us started, please. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for an alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This is the paragraph, right? Oh, my goodness gracious. There's so much in it. It's so meaty. And what really strikes me, you know, and it's been striking me a lot lately with other things that we've read in this paragraph, is that it doesn't say, because we are recovered, life is not going to have trials, right? You cannot survive the certain trials and low spots ahead, right? My life is going to have those things. And what is my armor against those things? Well, it's my spiritual connection. It's my higher powers, my armor for those certain low spots, right? And how do I keep that connection? Well, I have to work with others, right? I have to keep my side of the street clean, and I have to work with others. And that's how I get to face those certain trials the most much, you know. And it is nothing, you know, we've seen it over and over in this chapter. Nothing gets me out of self more than calling up another fellow and saying, how are you today? And listening. Learning to listen. And, you know, or having a new sponsee and rereading and restudying with that sponsee. You know, with my sponsees, I read out loud the first parts of this book together, you know, and I get to study it over and over and over again because I get to hear their insight. Because whoever I'm studying this book with, there's always new insight for me. that their higher power, my higher power, is sending my way. You know, I outreach calls, same thing. I'll call somebody and they'll have a new insight. And it might just be a communication from my higher power that I needed to hear. You know, it is being of service in so many different areas to a meeting. You know, I'm good with tech, so I serve on my meetings as a tech person on the Zoom meetings. You know, it is, God has given me certain talents. It's a pleasure to be of service in that way, but it also keeps me going to the meetings and in fellowship. It keeps, it's so good. And I don't want to ever lose my connection with my higher power. I don't. It's so central and key to my breathing, to my being, is to be in the abundance of my higher power. And so I believe it. When I read it in this book over and over again, work with others, keep your side of the street clean, you know, be of service. That is my, when I come out of meditation, my words are, God, please show me how to be of service to you and my fellows today. You know, keep me out of self. To show me how to get in this, how to be in this day in your service and in service of my fellows. And I'm ever so grateful for that today. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. And we're on page 14, the sixth paragraph my friend had, commenting on that one paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Christina J.
Kathy M.
Carrie G.
Carrie G. I can take a few more. Who else would like to share on this?
Mary G.
Sherry K.
I got Mary, Mary G, somebody R, and Sherry KB. Who is the R?
Evan R.
Meg, was it Megan? Okay, I think it was Megan. So I have Christina J, Kathy M, Carrie G, Mary G, Megan R. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that, and Sherry KB. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service this morning, moderators and readers and everyone that's going to share. My name is Christina Jay from the state of Washington. Wow, this is some juice here, really some juice, so get ready to take a drink. I have read many spiritual books throughout my life, and they always end with one thing. Get out and be of service to others. If you want to get close to God, if you want to have a closer walk, service is the way. What am I going to do at a certain stage in my life when I'm done with a big house on the hill, when I'm done with buying fancy clothes and prancing around the store and hoping people will look at me, when I'm done with glorifying my body and working out for hours a day just so I can go and have an underwater fat test and come out at 12% and then I walk out and nobody's clapping? When am I going to get done with all the desire systems of the physical realm that do nothing for me in the long run, in recovery? And today I'm so grateful for my life that I've been given, and I'm grateful for all the experiences. I went through some very hard times in my life. I've gone through many, many, many things, as many of us have. And now I've got a soul full of compost of all those experiences that have been boiled down to great gifts in my soul. What am I going to do with that? Sit around and let it rot? I don't think so. Again, here's another book that tells me I must be of service. Faith without works is dead. I have faith in God. Am I going to sit around and have faith in God and not do anything about it? Well, what is this action this book wants me to take? To go out and be of service to the still suffering addict, to be nice to people. This is so important for our lives. When we die, or actually I'll just speak for myself, when I die, I want to have a life full of being loving and kind. Mother Teresa, Jesus, I mean, you can name them down the line. We can only strive to be such great souls. So I want to tell you that your life is valuable. It's a huge gift. You have a life, you have experiences, and you have one unique thing that qualifies you to be a fantastic person of service in this program, and that is the addiction that you are through, have come through, or you're coming through. You have a unique way to be of service. Why be afraid? Listen, we learn that God leads the way. God will bring you the right person at the right time. You don't have to be afraid of what to say. This book guides you. Trust will lead you, and God will connect you with the right, exactly the right person. And even if they don't stay for you long, it was with you long, it was the right person. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's warnings through here. If you don't do this, you're surely going to drink again. And I had that experience with two of my sponsees that I kept encouraging them to sponsor. They wouldn't sponsor, and eventually they picked up. So it's necessary that we give of what's in our hearts. Otherwise, we just stay in self. It says here, I'm going to finish up, to get out of self, to be of service. This is one of the greatest ways to get out of self. So anyway, I'm just encouraging everyone, don't be afraid when you get to this, and this is a warning and a promise. And I love you all, and I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. Kathy M., you're up, followed by Carrie G. Good morning, Kathy. Star one to unmute,
Hi.
Kathy.
Yeah, this is Kathy.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks. Yes.
Okay. This is Kathy M. from New York. I am a compulsive overeater and binge eater. Thank you for the meeting. I am fairly new to Visions, about 4 weeks now, and really the only reason I'm sharing is because my sponsor was quite adamant about it, and I'm very nervous. So what she suggested was I read ahead and I wrote on this paragraph. So it sounds a little bit versed, but here goes. Faith without works was dead. Wow. Without something to believe in, really believe in, greater than myself, what is the point? To keep this belief alive, it must be shared with others like myself. It does no good to keep it to myself because it will then weaken and die, and the entire ugly, vicious cycle will begin again. I am very new to OA, about 4 weeks now, but I have been dealing or not dealing with this disease for almost 50 years. I am a compulsive overeater, a binge eater. I realized long ago that I am addicted to food. I also realized it is a side effect, a byproduct, so to speak, of bigger emotional defects. I have been on every kind of diet, fast, starvation, even hypnosis, in search for the perfect answer. Obviously, nothing worked for long. In listening to my first phone and Zoom meetings, I was so amazed by the kindness and caring of other members. I immediately received so many calls, and everyone was so willing to reach out with information, love, and positive attitudes, something I was never willing to do myself, ask for help. Something happened to me. I became convinced of the importance of fellowship. The love and support shown me was too awesome to ignore. My fear and self-centeredness, causing me to stay alone with my disease, kept me apart, which in turn kept me eating. I see for today that helping others will in turn help me. I need to get out of my own head by taking action and serving someone else. If I don't, the minute something happens in my life, good, bad, or indifferent, I use it as an excuse to binge. I've always known I couldn't live without God in my life, and I have known I couldn't tackle this problem without His direction, His guidance, and His strength to rely on. But what is completely new to me is realizing that God is in the fellowship. He has brought me here to share in something quite foreign to me. He is blessing me with the love and support of people who are similar yet a little unlike me. And in turn, He is requiring that I live my life for work and sacrifice for others. This, to me, is spirituality. Thank you. This is my higher power. This is God. He is asking me to give back what I am getting. And paradoxically, this is my freedom. Thanks. I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy M. Okay, Carrie G., good morning. You are up, followed by Mary G.
Hi, my fellows. This is Carrie G., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Colorado. And I just felt really compelled to share my experience of sponsorship. And I'm just so grateful that I have a framework with the podcast from A Vision for You. And just to say thank God for Ruth M. this past January, there is a podcast, and it is called Sponsorship from Both Perspectives. And so I would highly recommend that anybody, both a sponsor and a sponsee, listen to this podcast, because in it, Ruth explains the role. And I swear, moving forward, my experience is going to be to always have my sponsees listen to the first 10 minutes of this podcast, where Ruth explains that as a sponsor, we're not going to be advisors or therapists or counselors or even a friend to the sponsee. And that if the sponsee wants to chit chat, that's not my role. I'm not going to do that, because my vital role is to take the person through the steps, and that is what got me well. Thank God my sponsor was very businesslike. She was very adamant about me setting the pace, getting the assignments done, and reaching out to me when my assignments were done, so that I kept momentum, progression of the step work, like my hair is on fire. And I'm just so grateful that also, in the beginning of this podcast, Leah talks about how, you know, who really learns more in the relationship, the sponsee or the sponsor. And I'm just super humbled today to be working with such amazing women that want to get recovered and that have this heart of desire and desperation is really what I needed to get recovered. And so I'm grateful to be learning so much through my sponsee, grateful to take my own fears to a 10th step, turn it over to somebody else, and see that it's really my own inadequacies. So I get to learn a lot about myself through doing this work. So it's like I said, thank God, giving credit where credit is due. And I'm just so grateful for A Vision for You for my recovery today. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie G. Good morning, Mary G. It is your turn, followed by Megan R.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G. in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm very grateful to be on the line today. I haven't been able to be in the meeting for a while, so lots of gratitude. And this paragraph is just awesome. It's so amazing how... Like, this is exactly where I'm at in my life. I'm just finishing up with my very first sponsee, and she, we just finished working with others, you know, the chapter about the 12 step. And, you know, when I first came into program, and this is before I started working with the sponsor from A Vision for You, I thought I was exempt from sponsorship. I kind of took what I, you know, that whole, like, you know, take what you like, leave the rest. I took that to the extreme, and I felt, you know, I don't need to sponsor. I'm special. I'm, you know, I'm so unique. I don't need to do that. And it's said so many times here in this book how important it is to give back, to give what we, you know, got so freely. And now I feel like that is such an important part of my life, you know, living in steps 10, 11, and 12 and working with others. Once the food, you know, got neutral and became a non-issue, my life is now centered around others. And I'm so grateful for my sponsor who kind of like, reiterated that many times, like, I have to get out of self and become other-centered. And right there, that's just like, you know, the essence of sponsorship. So yeah, I'm so grateful it is so great to just work with others. It brings so much joy to my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. Megan R., you are up, followed by Sherry KB. Go ahead, Megan.
It's actually Evan, E-V-A-N.
Oh, Evan. Sorry, Evan. I'm so sorry.
Not ours.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Recovered compulsive eater in Southern California, right outside LA. Yeah, I guess, you know, with this paragraph too, for me, what people are talking about is kind of my experience with sponsoring. And I find it very interesting that Bill, in all his pain and glory in the hospital, was actually thinking about other people. I had a similar experience, but I definitely was not thinking about others. I was thinking about, like, God, please save me. But I think it's a powerful moment for him to understand that he needs to give this away. And it might be in hindsight that he wrote that, but it's still at the same time, it's like a very powerful message. And when I first started 12 Steps, I would, like, browse through all the steps, and I was like, oh, God, other people. That was, like, the worst one for me. I had very much a fear of that. And I had the experience of being recovered but not sponsoring because I had the fear of, like, who would want to have what I have. Like, I had, you know, some depression issues, and it just seemed like I had a life that no one wanted. But it occurs to me now, I wasn't binging. That's a life that somebody wants. And I guess being ready to sponsor wasn't necessarily something that I had to wait. I was waiting for it. It never happened. But now my sponsor now kind of has pushed me. I have people I'm sponsoring. And yeah, it's like everybody said, been learning a lot. And I'm growing, that says later, into the altruistic plane, or actually want to help not only people in 12 Step, but just people in general. And I get a lot of value out of that. And that, for me, has been the biggest character change I've seen over this year, is like I genuinely want to help people. It's not like I'm forced to, or I do it out of fear and I'm going to binge eat if I don't. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. And before I take Sherry KB, just a reminder that we are on page 14, the sixth paragraph my friend had. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph, and I'll be able to take some more names after Sherry KB. Good morning, Sherry. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen, and everyone on the line and Team Friday, and welcome newcomers and anyone else that's on the line, new or old. Welcome back. Welcome home. You know, I love this paragraph. I'm really picking and choosing my paragraphs these days on sharing, because this is giving me exact directions about what to do once I get recovered. Because it's telling me that if I don't, well, first of all, it's saying it's absolute necessity that I demonstrate these principles in all my affairs. And that means, you know, not only with the people I work with, it means my home, it means my work, it means when I'm out in the world. And if I can't practice the principles in all my affairs, then I limit my affairs. If it's a bad day, make it a short day. That's what I've learned through doing this work. And it's telling me it's imperative to work with others, as I was worked with, because if I don't do it, I'll be face down in the food. Eventually, it might take a while, but you know, the common thing that I have learned and listened to through the years with people who've been around the rooms a long time is they either are thinking they've got it and they stop working with others, or they stop working those steps themselves, or a combination of both. It's one or the other, or both. And, you know, I'm given a warning here about this, and it's telling me that if I don't do this work and trust in God, clean house, work with others, that, you know, and if I don't continue to enlarge my spiritual life, I am, you know, this disease will catch up with me, because it's not outside in the parking lot doing push-ups. It's still inside of me. And, you know, I used to hear this too, that, oh, I'm afraid to sponsor. Well, be afraid not to sponsor, because if you want to hold on to what you have, you got to do this work, and that means working with others, to me. And then it is warning us here, because it says, you know, if we don't work with others, then we're surely going to eat again, and if we eat again, we're surely going to die. And I heard someone say, well, you know, I've never really had physical ramifications from this. Yes, but what about the mental and emotional ones? You know, you know, walking around like a dead person because of not doing this work and enlarging my spiritual life. You know, if I don't do that, I lose my faith, I lose my trust. You know, fairy becomes the fairy show and God's nowhere to be found. So I just know that for me, you know, I've got to keep doing this work no matter what, because, you know what, it is getting me through all these low and high points in my life, definitely. And with this day and age, I need it. And thank God for God, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, we're on page 16, the sixth paragraph. And if you have not shared in the past 3 days, we would love to hear from you. So who would like to share on that paragraph?
Michelle R.
I got Laura
Sherry
R.
Sherry H.M. Oh, I'm sorry.
Who
Sherry
H.M.?
H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry. And I think there
Carrie.
Was a Laura before me. Sorry.
I got Laura R. and Carrie H.M. Was there somebody else in that little?
Michelle
yes.
R.
Oh, Michelle R. Okay.
And
Ohio?
It was Sherry H.M.?
No. Okay. I have Laura R., Sherry H.M., Michelle R. Who did I miss?
Okay. I'm just jumping in, Zane W. in Phoenix.
Zane W. And who was there with Zane W.?
Eileen G.
Okay. I got Eileen.
That's Irene.
Person, Irene. And who was right before Irene?
Emma K.
Emma K. Okay. Okay, let's stop there. I have Laura R., Carrie H.M., Michelle R., Zane W., Emma K., and Irene B. So go ahead, please, Laura R.
Great. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura R. Grateful.
Laura, you went away. Are you there still? We seem to have lost you. Okay, let's come back to Laura R. Carrie H.M., you want to go ahead?
H.M. in Recovered Compulsive Overeater, so grateful, in Mount Vernon, Washington State. Wow, the richness of this paragraph, my gosh, it's just amazing. Most of us are taught, you know, it's all about self, 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 me, me, me. How much of everything can I get? Money, a bigger house, a bigger car, you know. Whatever's going to make me happy, the perfect body, all that. But, you know, it's really not about that. That leaves us so empty and so hollow. And it's about service, my connection with God, my connection with higher power, and to serve other people. And I love the beginning also of my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. And one of our members talks about the principles means the steps. And I have to be working every situation, every problem through all the steps. And if I'm not doing all that, I'm going to be empty and hollow, and I'm going to try to fill it up with food. So I also love on page 417, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, but that filtered through the serenity prayer. We don't just put that alone. I don't just sit around and, you know, okay, just accept everything. I have to put that through the serenity prayer. So anyway, I'm so very grateful for all of you wonderful people out there, and yeah. So have a great day, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie H.M. Do we have Laura R. back?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Okay. Good morning. Thanks for that. Sorry. This is Laura R., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater in Colorado. Great to be on the line with you all, and such great shares, previous shares. Goodness, I was just thinking, I just went through my fifth step, sixth step, and seventh step. And after my writing the fourth step and having the experience with my sponsor on my fifth, you know, so many realizations and so much awareness, some good, some bad. Some I'm excited to make amends for. Some I'm, you know, just like, oh, how is this, you know, how am I going to be able to change? But honestly, it is propelling me into wanting to work with others. I mean, I can't even, you know, I was thinking about it, like sponsorship, if I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but if no one says they're scared to do it, like, I think it's, I think we all are, right? Like, I'm not God. I, you know, I hear people on the lines and I try to compare myself to them and think that like, oh my gosh, I couldn't dare, you know, dare be them, you know, in sponsorship. But the bottom line is not about me, you know, it's about bringing God in the middle of it and asking my higher power to guide the, you know, me and my sponsee working together. And, you know, it's just, I have to get myself out of it and bring God in. But like I said, you know, just doing this work, and I've been through the steps many a times and I've worked with a lot of people, and this, you know, this time around and every time I did think like, how in the world am I going to be able to give back what this woman just gave to me? Because it was gold. And, but I am like literally feeling propelled to just, I cannot wait to carry the message and give this back the way I, you know, just went through the steps with her. I want to be able to carry that to someone else. My step guide though, just read this the other day and I just love it. And it's in the family afterword on page 129. And it says, Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. I got to do this daily, you know, and the work, like I've heard it before on this line, and I was just, you know, I put it in my books just the other day. The work isn't about doing the steps. The work is about carrying the message, you know, and by carrying the message, I am doing the work one day at a time. And so, you know, I'm doing like that three-legged stool, recovery, unity, and service. You know, if I'm not in the middle of that and one of my legs is off, then I'm not balanced. So, yeah, I mean, for me, every time I work with someone new, I'm scared to death, but I have to just bring God in the middle of it. No, this isn't about me. This is about just, you know, seeing where God brings the two of us together and the three of us. It's just like that, you know, service, recovery, and unity. It's me, that person, and God. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Okay, I have Michelle R. next, followed by Zane W. Good morning, Michelle. Star one to unmute, Michelle.
Hello?
Go ahead, I hear you.
Okay, yes. Sorry. I just told you a whole story. This is Michelle R. in Bentleyville, Ohio, and I'm a compulsive overeater. This is a very poignant paragraph. Sponsorship to me is, it fills my soul. I had been sponsored in several different ways. My current sponsor is a loving, caring, you know, sponsor. And she has taught me, we read Big Book. We do strictly Big Book, read the whole book with our sponsees. And when she told me I had to start over again, when she became my sponsor, I wanted to scream. Well, it was so wonderful and so enjoyable, and I'm teaching the way she taught me. And when it was time for me to become a sponsor, I was terrified because I'm a perfectionist, like many of us are. And I did it. I felt like I did some hit and miss stuff. I ended up making an outline for sponsorship just to give me confidence to, you know, okay, when we get to this point, we should this, that, and the other. This has been very helpful to me. And, you know, everybody does things differently, and I'm not saying my way is the right way, but basically we have to know that we have to help our fellows through the recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And it's just as important for me each time as it is for them. And I love the OA promise, Roseanne's prayer, and it's the first sentence, I put my hand in yours and together we can do what we could never do alone. It is a beautiful process, and I am grateful to have all of you in my life. And every day I thank God that I am alive and for all my blessings, and I wish them upon everybody. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle R. Okay, Zane W., good morning. You are up, followed by Emma K. Star one to unmute, Zane.
Hi there. Hi, everybody. I'm Zane W. I'm a compulsive reader here in Phoenix, Arizona. I cannot claim to be recovered yet because I'm not, but I'm working on it. glad to be here. God is working on it too. Just appreciate some of the friendships that I've been making on this line, you know, the fellowship and the support. And I this line from the reading, if he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. And I can attest to that. I stopped working to help others in this program, or just working at all in this program, for a stretch of time this fall. And I ate, and I'm glad that I didn't die. But I mean, I did in a sense, you know, definitely spiritually. And I also stopped showing up for my sponsee, and I know that harmed him. So I'm just back. I'm on day 7 of abstinence, glad to be in a meeting, just really praying to be able to hear this and accept the gift that's been given to me to not have to drop out for years at a time, which is a story that I've heard. And, you know, I just want to surrender that in my mind there's a lie, which is it'll never get as bad as it used to be again. You're pretty much good now. Just, you know, just keep doing your food plan, a.k.a. diet mentality. And I'm aware of this. And so that's actually the biggest danger sign I saw when I started to notice my mind was underestimating this disease. And that, so I'm glad that that was enough of a warning sign, plus the pain of, you know, compulsively eating, to come back and get reengaged. And I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Zane W. Emma K., you're up, followed by Irene B. Star one to unmute, Emma.
Okay, can I be heard now?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great. Hi, everyone. I'm okay. I'm trying to get recovered the second time around now. I am back on step one, and one of the things that struck me here is in all of our affairs. I think the first time around when I started OA mid this year, I was just like an add-on to my life. So with my kids, work, life, it felt very overwhelming because I was like, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to add this? But I think it's so key to embed this program in all parts of our lives, at least for me. I'm starting to see that this time around. We've been on step one for like a week, and we've been working on it. And I'm starting to see how can I embed every single piece in Bill's story and doctor's opinion in my part, in every single part of it, in all of my affairs, not just like in the morning or not just at night or during these meetings, every single hour, sometimes every single minute. And hopefully I will get full recovery, and even after that, I'd be able to help someone again with all of my affairs, keeping that in mind. So that's all I want to share. I hope everyone has a good one. Bye.
Thank you, Emma K. And Irene B., you're up next. And just to let you know, we will have we'll have time for another share after Irene. So if you'd like to be ready to jump in, so go ahead, please, Irene.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., gratefully recovered bulimic in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This paragraph is amazing. And what jumps at me is that, and if I drink, it is to die for sure. That's what I get out of this. I absolutely and most definitely cannot pick up, because I will be 62 years old tomorrow, and I don't have another 40 years before I can achieve abstinence. I don't know that God would deliver me from the obsession one more time. And honestly, at this point, I am grateful for the gift of desperation and the gift of knowing that if I pick up, it is to die again. There is no choice. I absolutely cannot pick up. And for me, throughout my 40-year career in bulimia, there was always the option that I could pick up. I never, during those 40 years, really acknowledged that I had to give it up, that I absolutely could not engage in that behavior again, because if I did, I'd be trapped. And it wasn't until somehow God and vision helped me see that, well, I didn't know about the allergy of the body. I didn't know about the allergy of the body. And once I understood that, I understand that there is no way that I can pick up any of my alcoholic food and not have the consequences. And I'm thankful that I have heard people say that sooner or later, if you're consuming those alcoholic foods, sooner or later, they're going to get you. And I didn't know that. And as a result, I consumed some of my alcoholic foods. And I'll just say that I came so close to losing my abstinence that I now know that there is absolutely no way that I can pick up again. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. And would someone else like to share? We have another few minutes. Would someone else like to share on this page 14, this paragraph?
Elaine G. from Florida.
Elaine G. Go ahead, please, Elaine.
Hi. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. When I read this, the two things that jump out me are the reference to faith and the reference to being dead. Where they say faith without works is dead, and then at the very end when he says, then faith would be dead indeed. And for me, the greatest gift that this program has given me is my spiritual connection to my higher power, which coming in, I wouldn't say I was fighting, kicking and screaming, but I would say that God was not on my lips. Higher power was not on my lips. And the great miracle and continuing miracles that manifest themselves in my life since my recovery, which is every single day, I am not willing to not do what needs to be done because I don't want to lose that. So for me, the step telling us that we need to share it, it's a given. It's a no-brainer. I want others to feel the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment, and the ability that when I'm in a bad place, that I know where I can run. I know where I can get support. I know who'll hold me up when nothing else will. So for me, sponsorship is really, really important. Even when my first one, I was terrified. I will not lie. I was terrified. But God honored my heart that I wanted to do the right thing and to give to someone else what had been given to me as an incredible gift. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine G. Okay, thank you everyone for your great shares this morning and being here on the meeting. Special thanks to Team Friday, Liz T, Dana P, Kara L, Roz G, Julie E B, Mary B, and Betsy H. Thank you for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Roz G., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.